Gospel of Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter number 12, starting with verse 41 and reading through verse 44. You ready, Brother Barry?
And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living.
Even all her living. Tonight, if the Lord would help me and you will help me, I would like to preach to you the widow's mite. There came a certain poor widow. She threw in two mites, which make a farthing. The widow's mite. Father, bless us as we stand behind your sacred desk, that we may feed the flock of God of which you gave us oversight. Give us the ability we do not possess, and help us, Lord, to do that which is right and pleasing in your sight. And the church said,
Amen.
Did you ever look at the grandeur of noble deeds? Did you ever just study people and how that in their humble way, they enhance that which is so simple and make it so beautiful? It's especially true of this unnamed widow. She comes out of nowhere, goes back to nowhere, but she's mentioned in this text. 2,000 years later, she's mentioned in this text. Not only in America, but in Europe, in Africa and Australia and in South America, she's mentioned in this text. This widow with two mites. Our sense of her is that she was probably ashamed that she had no more, because the Bible said that she threw, as though to get rid of it hastily, she threw in her two mites and walked away. You can see that she is not particularly wanting any trumpet to sound, and she's not wanting any voice to cry out. She's wanting to get it done and get away. Maybe she is ashamed that she has no more to give. It's a meager gift that she's putting into God's treasury. It's a meager thing that she's doing. What's her little among so much? But you understand that there was somebody watching. The whole story would have drifted away as fog does in the heat of the day if somebody hadn't been watching. That somebody was watching, because he was and has one of the greatest lessons to teach us right here. And he is a great teacher, and he wanted us to have this great lesson. And this great lesson is on giving. Look at her lesson as she lays it out before us. It's the best lesson there is in the Bible on giving. It's a beautiful scene in the life of Jesus. It's like a refreshing breath of air, because he had just come out of contention. They question him about who he is. They question him about controversies. But here is Jesus, and he's sitting on the outer court of the temple, forgotten for a moment is what he'd just been through. Forgotten, not quite, but something's going to happen that will make him forget. Something will happen that will make him remember the cause of why he came. He came to save such a person as this nameless widow. Her love for God, her devotion to God, her trust in God was what drew him from the banisters of glory down to this place that we call earth. She drew him, captivated his heart. He's resting in the outer court of the temple, and he's there, and he is watching. He won the battle of the controversy, but it was a shallow victory. Something needs more, and that's what he's looking for. Quietly, the master watches. Watches as people line up and they go by and they throw their money into these corn unicorn horns that flow down into a chest on the other side of the wall that make up the offerings. He's watching. He watches. And then two things stand out in this story. Look at them. The Lord and the treasury. Isn't that something? The Lord and the treasury. Just two little things. But the Lord of the treasury, he has some things to say. It is his treasury. It is his house. It is his world. Amen. He is the Lord. So he came to his house in his world, and he's sitting there and he's watching, and he's going to say he is the Lord of the treasury, and there is a language of the treasury, and there's a loyal of the treasury. In these three things, we hope to help and interest you on this great Lord's Day, leading up to a holiday, which you are very busy. So I'm going to try to teach you this lesson quickly. Jesus was the Lord of the temple. His name was not just Jesus, it was also Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So God does go to church.
Yes, sir.
Right.
And God does observe in church. And God watches life. And God observes in life. The little things that you don't think much of, God thinks a lot of. Amen. We're not surprised then when the Bible said that Jesus set over against the treasury. Verse 41. And Jesus set over against the treasury and beheld how people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. But the thing of it is, Jesus is Lord. He's setting over against the treasury, and he is watching or beholding, looking how people cast in money. Some folks said, it don't matter what I do with my money. I think so.
Yeah. God's watching.
God's watching. So many givers walked right by him and did not recognize him for who he really was. He sat there, yet watching. The evidence of the concern for the treasury of God's house is right here in this verse of my text. He set over against the treasury and watched how people cast their money in. That's very much of an indictment of our day. Amen. We too should set over against the treasury. We too should be concerned about the Lord's treasury. We too should understand that God's watching. That's why the Bible will tell you that some people just don't understand when a preacher gets up and he preaches about money. It's a shepherd's duty to find sheep, bring sheep to the sheepfold. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
To defend the sheep and to fleece the sheep.
Well,
it's healthy for the sheep. So we're here tonight to try to tell you that winning the loss is not second, it's first. But after winning the loss, it is also right to teach Christian stewardship. It is right to tell you that God watches your stewardship. That God watches how you use your money. Because where you got your money was from God. For
yes,
God
sir.
Gave you the ability to make it.
Amen. Yes, sir.
God gave you the strength to work. God gave you the brains to work.
That's right.
Chances are you got the job that you got because God gave it to you.
Amen.
Or gave you favor.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Right.
So when we read about the treasury, he beheld how people cast money into the treasury. He saw the rich casting in their much, but he didn't miss the poor widow when she tossed in her little. Usually our eyes are upon the much, and we miss the little, but not him. He also saw the rich, how they cast in their much, but he didn't miss the little widow when she cast in her two mites. Am I right? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Bringing your gifts to God are very important. Bringing them, however you bring them, you must understand that God, though he is within the shadow, leaning against the wall and watching across the court, does not miss nor misunderstand the motives behind the giving of those who give. Keeping watch above his own people, his own treasury. That's a sobering thought. He's the God of the temple. He's the God of the treasury. Amen. And he's the God of what you got. God is watching. God watches how we earn our money. He looks over our shoulders. Amen. When we make it out. Amen. When everything is said and done, God is watching. Some folks say, well, let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Jesus knows. It's not a big secret. Jesus knows. Oh, I wish you'd help me preach.
That's right.
You understand, it make a whole lot of difference if Jesus knows. The story was told of a man who put down on his tax deductions that he gave $1,000. Well, the IRS looked at his ability and they looked at how much he made and it threw up a red flag. So they sent an agent to the church to talk to the pastor about if he did give that $1,000. And the pastor said, no, he ain't never gave $1,000. Well, they went to visit this man and told him, said, you have two options. You either give the church that $1,000 or you go to jail. The next Sunday, the church had the largest offering it had had for a long time. IRS is watching, but so is God.
So is God.
You see, we need to understand that God loves a cheerful giver. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
God knows and God loves. He's not there to take away from our offering. It says in the Old Testament that there was an offering that pleased God. We read, it was a sweet savor unto the Lord. Genesis 8:21 and Exodus 29:18. Leviticus 1:9, it was a sweet savor unto the Lord. When that person offered that offering, it whiffed its way up to heaven. It went into God's nostrils, and God loved the smell of that offering. It was a sweet savor. But there's also an opposite. There's an offering that God rejects, an offering that wasn't done right. An offering that was done for the wrong motive. And God rejected it.
Right.
So how we give in accordance to what we give. God still delights in our gifts. But God wants us to understand is that he seeks not yours, but you.
That's it.
God's got more than you can ever imagine. So he's not seeking what you got. He's seeking you.
Right.
But the Lord never completely gets you till he gets what's yours. Anybody going to help me preach?
Right.
Paul said as a reply to the Philippians, he said, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Paul said, I'm happy to receive it. And I'd be the first to tell you, I don't want you not to give. But I am not doing it because I want it. I am doing it because it goes on your account. God does keep books. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'm talking about giving tonight. God does keep books. And it's very important for you and I to understand God will balance his books after a while.
Yes, sir.
To deny somebody the right to give is wrong. They should have that right, and they should have that right to give with dignity. It's not the amount. One of the conferences that pastors attend, one of them objected to a proposed offering. The old pastor said, brethren, I have learned through the years that we do not need to guard people's purses. They will do that well enough. We must help them to open them for the glory of God. We might add, for themselves, a Christian needs to give. Failure to do is fatal to spiritual growth. If we are always receiving from the Lord and never giving to him, the springs of our grace dry up. It's like the Dead Sea. We become dead. On the other hand, giving makes for Christian growth in grace. In such God delights, for God loveth a cheerful or hilarious giver.
That's right.
So when we draw the strings on our giving, we're turning into a Dead Sea. Everything flows in, nothing flows out. Amen. But if we learn how to give and give cheerfully, then grace pours in and grace pours out. Oh, we should help me preach.
Oh,
the rich cast in much, but it didn't turn his head. He didn't count the gift. He weighed it. How many know God doesn't count your money? He weighs it. He does not count the gift. He weighs it. One black preacher said, last Sunday a stranger came to our church. Nobody paid much attention to him at first. But when he put a $5 bill in the collection plate, after church everybody liked to howdy doody him to death. God don't count. God weighs. Thou art weighed in the balance. Found wanting. God looks at the motive behind giving. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
He looks at the motive behind giving. The language of the treasury is just found, and there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them without significance. How many's heard that old story? Money talks.
Yes, sir.
So there's a language of the treasury. The treasury of your church could talk. Oh, what a story it would tell. And they do talk. We have a very competent staff. They do not talk about your giving. It is kept in a most secure way. Nobody knows. Till the end of the year, then you and you alone know how much you gave. We do not, as one pastor practiced, he had his treasurer to give him a list of everything that was given that weekend. And when your name come up blank, he called you up and asked, where's your tithes this week? I noticed your tithes wasn't in the offering this week. Well, you've never had a done from this church. But money still talks. It has a language that's common to ages and to people. It does talk. Ours talks about the privilege of giving. We have poor widows, but the privilege is still there. There's a privilege of giving. The Bible says of Mary that she has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Giving is a privilege.
Yes.
Oh, some of us shouted amen on that.
Amen.
We understand that if we're not careful, we will make it a duty and not a privilege. We will say we're buying our pew, and some of you act like it belongs to you. You pay tithes, you sit, and if somebody's sitting in your pew, you look at them like, move over, I done paid for that. You said, never happens in this church. I can remember when I first came. Sister Nan Hayes stood there beside somebody and looked at her until she got the message and scooted over. And there was plenty of empty wood pews. Say, just because you get in the habit of giving doesn't mean you own the furniture.
That's right.
There's a God of this house and it belongs to Him.
That's right.
There's a Lord of this house and it belongs to Him.
Amen.
We're here to worship Him.
That's right.
We're here to sing to Him. We're here to pray to Him. We're here to receive from Him. But everything that is here does not belong to one person or two persons or a committee. It belongs to God. That's why they said, let us go to the house of God.
Right.
It's God's house.
Right.
Let us sing unto the Lord. For the song service should not be about me and mine, but about Him.
Right.
Oh, I wish you'd help me.
Come on, Brother Ben.
You see, this treasury speaks of the portion of our giving. This little woman, she hath cast in more than all which have cast into the treasury. We're not told except that it was two mites. Lepta or leptos means peeled or stripped. So very thin. The money given was made up of copper, which was so thin that it had very little value. About 1/5 of the cent. She actually gave 2/5 of a cent. In monetary value, you can see the lepton, 1/8 of a Roman as. Those 10 ases made a denarius, which was a day's wage. In short, the widow gave the equivalent of 1/40 of a labor day wage. She didn't give much, but it was all she had. All she had. That is not much, but it was all she had.
That's right.
For they have all put in what they can easily spare, but she in her poverty, who needed so much, was given away everything, her whole living. She gave away her whole living. I want to talk to you tonight about this widow's mites. Again, in the kindred vein, the treasury speaks of our passion. The acid test of man is the love that he has for money. For the love of money is the what? So our passion is weighed by the treasury's Lord. A man can be said, if he loves his family, is not willing to deny himself for their welfare, he's not really in love with his family. If a man or a woman, as it was back when I was a boy, when mom didn't have anything, she didn't have any way of getting it, I've watched her sit there at the table until me and my sister had eaten all we wanted, and then mom took the scraps. And the reason that she'd done that was because she loved her family. We give God our dimes and we spend our dollars. We need to understand that choice. A lot of us are like the young man who told his choice love, "Darling, I would climb the highest mountain for you. I would brave the broadest desert for you. I would swim the deepest ocean for you. And I'll be over tonight if it doesn't rain." And that's the way we court God. We promise God everything and come through with so little. We talk about giving a bunch when we know we didn't touch what we really have. Whereas the rich man, we're giving in of our abundance. We know we can spare it. We know we'll make ends meet. Peter said to the Lord, "I will lay down my life for thy sake." But Jesus, knowing his weakness, of the flesh, replied to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." Are we any better? We say, "Lord, I trust you." Special needs come up of your church. Special needs come up that's going to be spent for your future church. Special needs come up. And we know that they've got to come up.
Yes, sir.
In the 30 years that I've been here, we have remodeled this church at least 3 times. Did it need it? I love green. Couldn't wear it out. Couldn't shout it out. Couldn't scuff it up. Boy, it was just right for holding this people. But people got tired of green. They don't like green carpet, but they like green backs.
Well,
you see, my friends, money does talk. It has its own language. We toss God our dimes. We keep our dollars. We give to God, and we sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But what we don't know is that he understands. Because he doesn't count our offering, he weighs it. John tells us that we love him because he first loved us. And the old hymnal says, "I'm loved so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." What we call men treasure, God calls them dross. God calls them things and stuff. We've got a bunch of it, don't we? And God wonders how you could afford things and stuff. And you see your brother in need, and you shut up your bowels of compassion. You hug George and Abraham and Ulysses to your heart. When you watch your brother suffer, do we have suffering in the church? Do we have people here that could use money? Do we have people here that could use some groceries? Do we have people here that could use some help? And the answer to that is a resounding yes, we do. You say, "Well, I don't know it." You can put a dime so close to your eye that you can lose sight of the whole world. Oh, they're here. You shook hands with them. They're here. You said, "God bless you." But you walked away with the blessing. And the next time you toss God your dime, God's going to say, "Do you really love me?" The rich man gave generously. The widow gave to receive not praise from men, but commendably. She gave to where it got God's attention. She got to where she didn't know God was within 50 yards of her, but the eyes of God were upon her through it all. He did not name her, but she is in this book. She is in my text, and she's going to be in your mind tomorrow. Tomorrow, when you get your chance and you go out and you begin to spend your money on a holiday, you're going to remember, "I was in God's house. I could have done good with that. I was in God's house. I could have asked the pastor, who is that needy person that you mentioned? I could have gone to the preacher and I could have spared some. I could have gave of my abundance. Well, that's good preaching, even if I am doing it. Jesus said, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. They have the reward. You know what that word means in the Greek? It means paid in full. They have the reward. They got... God said, that's all you're getting paid. Woo! Did you see him? God said, and that's all you're getting paid. It's now paid in full. The debt is paid in full. You gave it to get the attention of the men. Now your debt is paid in full. God don't owe you nothing. You were paid by the ooze and the all. You were paid in full.
Well,
first place, it was not the awarded, not by the son, but by the spirit of the gift. The widow did not ask what was expected of her. She gauged her gift by the gift, then did not gauge her gift by the gift of others. Neither did she weigh her gift on the scale of duty, but of love. She loved God more than she loved life. Love says, must I give? No, love says, may I sacrifice? Giving for any other purpose is a wasted effort. If I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Little. Before you forget, little with God is much. God loves little things. He loves little things. The widow expected no commendation. She expected no one to point her out. She didn't expect to make the history book called the Divine Script. She didn't expect that God would notice her. She didn't expect that God even paid attention to her. But she loved God. She loved His house. So she gave of her living in the treasury of the house of God. But that day, the God of the house sat over against the wall and He watched as people gave. What timing on this widow's part. She walked right into the framework of God. Walked right into the heart of God. Walked right into the very Spirit of God. Walked right into the commendation of God. In a moment's time, it was all over. But not for a long time will she be forgotten. What you do may be over like that. But with God sees it, it'll live forever. Gideon's little rattled a multitude. David's little stone slew a giant. The hands of Jesus, the little lad's lunch fed a multitude. The Spirit of God, He said, little flock, receive the kingdom. It is in that. What is the value of money anyway? You know what it is? Interested? Can I help you? Are you bored yet? Look here, that's a $1 bill. You know what that thing is made out of? Paper and ink. Am I right? It's valueless by itself. What makes this piece of paper so valuable is the fact on the front of it, it says Federal Reserve Note, United States of America. That $1 bill has the whole nation of America standing behind it. So it will be received in any nation around the world because it's just a piece of paper. Not very much worth in this piece of paper, but it's who backs the paper. You see, we have something better than that. You have wrapping paper, you have wallpaper, and toilet paper, have Kleenexes. We have all kinds of paper. Why this little green piece does it take get a hold of your heart? I mean, you handle paper every day. Why does that one little piece of green paper get you to be tight? Why do you become stingy over that one little piece of green paper? You handle paper every day. Because you've learned that issued by the United States of America, it's got power behind it. But in the same cause, in the same way, the resources of heaven stand behind every child of God.
Right.
Everything God has stands to back up what He says. If I'm going to have the longest run, I'm going to have to learn not to put my trust in paper. I would rather have a promise out of the King James Version than with the dollar bill I got in my pocket, because tomorrow my dollar bill may be worthless. It's already costing America 2 cents to make a penny. 2 cents cost to make a penny. You can't run a government like that. Oh, you're not with me, are you? Hold on to it. Brother Lakes can tell you at the end of the Second World War, those people who had backed Hitler to the teeth found themselves with wheelbar loads of marks and couldn't buy a loaf of bread with them. Wheelbarrows going down the road with a wheelbarrow full of money, looking for somebody who would sell them a loaf of bread for a wheelbarrow full of money. The money was worthless. And the Bible says that one day you'll throw your silver in the street. The Bible says that one day you will not be able to buy or sell without a mark. Where's your money going to take you? It's going to take you at love for money, and it's going to put you right in line to take a mark and lose your soul. What am I preaching to you tonight? I'm preaching to you there's a better currency. There's a whole lot better currency than a piece of paper. There's a whole lot better currency. It's called prayer and obedience.
Right.
This little woman walked up and cast in everything she had. She cast it in because imprinted in her heart was the word of deity. Give and it shall be given unto you. Something dedicated to God. Listen. For whosoever shall give a cup of water to drink in my name, verily I say unto you, shall not lose his reward. A cup of cold water, what's it worth? Right now, a bottle of cold water costs you a buck. And sometimes a buck and a quarter. But in Jesus' day, it didn't cost anything. A cold water in my name. That's where the whole picture flips. You do it in my name, and all of a sudden that cup of cold water has a great value. A value that will not diminish. A value that will never cheapen. A value that shall always retain its power. And the power of it is, he said, if you will do that, you will not lose your reward. You may end up being blessed of God in eternity for the fact that you gave a cup of cold water in his name. You may become a soul winner. The verdict can be rendered and the evidence is still in. The poor widow received a reward enough when Jesus took note of her gift before the throne of God, when all the evidence is in. When the verdict of God really matters, the two mites become an inestimable value. The two were to bound up in the glorious words, "Well done! Well done, thou good and faithful servant! Thou hast been faithful over a few things, two mites. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. Finally, the law of the treasury. The law was bestowed back in the Greeks and the Romans. It was put upon the winner's head of an Olympic or somebody they wanted to honor. They would take a laurel wreath and they would place it on their head after the crown. The widow gave. But she gave more than all. She didn't give calculation. The widow gave with abandon. The plaudits of Jesus went respect to her gift, the love, the spirit, the sacrifice, the service. It was all her living. I wish you'd help me preach. She was not just pleasant. She was a pauper. Instead of giving it to the treasury for the poor, she might as well receive from it. But she had no job, yet she gave. She had no home, yet she gave. She had no income, yet she gave. She knew not from whence it would come the next meal, but she gave. She gave for the sheer love of giving. She gave her all to God. And God said she gave more than all. Somebody talks in the means of poultry when they say, I'll just give my widow's mite. Shame on you. I would to God that everybody had the kind of spirit that would give the widow's mite. Touch talk is sacrilege. Sacrilege against God who made you, redeemed you, blessed you. Sacrilege against the widow whose name you use in vain. Until we're willing to give our all, let us not pretend. We've not given yet. Till we have learned to give our all, we have not given yet. So concludes my little lesson on giving. And the reason that I bring up this wonderful example is that she went home and we don't even know that she had a home to go to. We don't know what she had in the cupboard. We don't know what she had for the next day. But we do know that the faithful Lord of the treasury said she gave her living. Are you interested in giving? Would you like to turn things around? Would you like to go from less to more? Would you like to go from the tail to the head? Would you like to go from underneath to above? Brother Zeke Estes will tell you his philosophy on giving is you can't outgive God. You want to challenge God, give. More than one time, he's walked up to me and gave out of his abundance. And I thank God for that. But then there's been times when I almost made the terrible mistake. I looked at the person who was giving me a gift. And I almost said, don't do that, don't do that. I got more than you got. You keep that. And then the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, will you take their blessing? And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I've thought that we're doing it out of duty. And I was mistaken. To them, it was a privilege. A privilege to give. And I've seen God take that privileged few that gave from the abundance of their heart and turn life around for them. Somebody say amen. So tonight, my little lesson, I didn't run around the platform, didn't jump up and down, I didn't stutter. My lesson tonight is, children, you want life to go better. Learn again now, a dime out of a dollar. And when it comes hard, give all of it. When you think that the devil's got you in a corner, give it all. I learned that as a young preacher. My wife can tell you when we lived in Scotland, there was times when we didn't hardly have anything. I learned that. I told you before, I went to church one night carrying a tote and a Bible because I was a preacher and a pastor, and I only had $5 to get us to Friday. And the Lord spoke to me. I felt like it was God, and He said, "Give it." So I just reached in because I was young and reckless and pulled that whole thing out and threw it in the offering. And figured out some way I was going to tell Janie what I'd done when I got home. When I got home, I was reading the scriptures before I went to bed and opened my Bible, and there in the Bible that never left my hand, there in the Bible that no one had but me, there in the Bible that every preacher keeps closed, I opened it up and started to read, and there was my $5 bill. God didn't give me five plus. He just gave me my five back. It lasted to Friday. How many know if God does it, it'll last to Friday?
All right.
There's times when we didn't have groceries. We had children. We didn't complain. We didn't gripe. We didn't murmur. We would go to church and come back, and there would be groceries sitting, leaning up against our front door. We'd pick them up and feel like dancing a jig. So we'd get them in there on the table and empty them out and find out what all was in there because we were hungry. I found out young, you don't outgive God.
Right.
You're not shouting amen. I know why you're not shouting amen. George won't let you. You ought to shout amen and say, "George, I can live without you. The Lord has got me here. He's brought me a mighty long way." How many can say He brought me a mighty long way?
Amen.
When I had nothing, He put something on my table.
Right.
Oh, yeah. My wife was reminding me of a Christmas when we didn't have anything to give to our parents and just had enough money to buy one gift for each of our children. Full-time preacher. Red hot. Going for God. You think God would send Santa Claus if there was such a person? You'd think He'd make him get in his sleigh and come down to a house like that, but He didn't. Did we make it? Yes. Did we learn? Yes. Can I tell you can trust Him? Yes. Can I tell you that He will be there when there doesn't seem how to make any way? He'll be there. He is a way maker. He is a dollar stretcher. Amen. He can make a way. That's not the best. I'm going to close with this. We made so much money preaching that we got real adventurous, and FHA was building homes over there. We were renting. So we had nothing to lose. So we submitted. Here is our income. This is what we make. They figured up our house payment and approved it. Tell them, Sister Janie, how much our house payment was for a new home. $106. Yeah. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. But it wasn't for a new house. In fact, if we hadn't been so stinking poor, we'd never got it. That's one time when God took poverty and turned it into a blessing. Can God do it? That was an impossibility. No bank today would have even looked at those figures. But God said, "Now's the time." We applied. God blessed. We moved in. Hallelujah. In fact, we were living there when you all called us and put us in over here. We left a new home to come here. But have we any regrets? No. We took a cut in pay. Have any regrets? No. Because I found out that when you're willing to give it all, you'll never outgive God. You can trust Him. He is a way maker. How many will raise one hand and say, I know it. I know it. I know it. Let's stand.